We were as faithful as he. Acts chapter 11 this morning. Acts chapter 11. We're going to try to cover the first 18 verses this morning, chapter 11. In those 18 verses, Peter is going to recount his experience there in Caesarea with Cornelius. So we're going to find out what Peter's interpretation of that experience is. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Heavenly Father, help us this morning as we open your word. Give us, Lord, a heart to receive your word and to apply it to our lives that we might better serve thee in the days ahead. We thank you for the opportunity we have to serve. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to take advantage of every opportunity. And Lord, use it to bring glory and honor and praise to your name, the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen. In chapter 10, Peter was chosen by God to deliver the message of salvation to Cornelius and his household. And we talked about how there were other people that could have been chosen but were not. For example, Philip actually resided in Caesarea at this time, but Philip was not chosen to be the one to deliver the message. Was he capable? Absolutely. But he wasn't the chosen one. Do you know, God had a plan for Cornelius. God has a plan for Peter and for Philip. And God has a plan for you. God has a work for you to do that you are uniquely qualified to do. Now, I don't know what that work is, but God does. And if you don't accomplish that work, it won't get done. So the work that God has for you is important. Amen? So what's my task? Find out what that work is and do it to the best of my ability with God's help. Now, that's what we're going to see here from Peter. Peter's just had a great experience. The gospel message has been delivered to the Gentiles, to the uncircumcised, to the heathen, and it's been received. And many were saved that day. I can imagine Peter is on a high. Amen. What an experience. He's had a revelation that God has cleansed not just the dietary laws and the foods, but also peoples, so that all peoples are clean and acceptable in God's sight for salvation. So we come to chapter 11, and news has spread about the Gentiles, the heathen, receiving the gospel. Verse 1, chapter 11, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God. Now, when that word got back there, there were mixed feelings as to how that was to be received. Some were joyous and some were skeptical. Verse 2, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. They of the circumcision. Now, who are the circumcision? They're saved Jews. Is that all the saved Jews? Did they all contend with Peter, or just a certain portion? It's just a certain portion. And that portion, I believe, that's called the circumcision here. We've run into that term before, the circumcision. We're going to run into it again. In fact, this group of people plagued Paul and his ministry throughout his ministry. That these were Christians, Jews, Christian Jews, who were zealous for the Mosaic Law, especially the separatist teachings of the Mosaic Law or the Talmudic Law. They were aggressively supporting those laws. And so they have an argument here, a contention with Peter. When Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision. Now, that implies it wasn't everybody. It was just this one group. They that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. Now, were they upset because he preached the gospel to them? No. They're upset because he went into their house and fellowshipped with them and ate with them. Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. Now, how is Peter going to answer these people? The best way to answer them is the way Peter answers them, and that's with the facts. We ought to deal with facts, amen? I like the book of Acts because Luke deals with facts. He reports the facts, as an historian should. So Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning. So he starts in the beginning. Now, this is the second time Luke records this event. It's recorded a third time in Acts chapter 15. So three times in the book of Acts, we find recorded this event that took place in chapter 10. So it must be a pretty important event, wouldn't you say? Amen. And so did a lot of other people. You're here this morning because of it. Because of this event, it was taken to the Gentile world, made its way to Europe, made its way to the across the seas to America, and we got to hear the gospel. So, pretty important event. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order. Now, it says he expounded it. What does that mean? He explained it. Not only what happened, but why it happened. How it happened. Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying. Now, that's a good place to start. Amen. If you want God to speak to you, you need to pray. Now, prayer is talking to God, but God responds to folks who pray. Call unto me and I will, what? Answer thee. You communicate with me, I'll communicate with you. Draw nigh unto God and he will what? Draw nigh unto you. So Peter's praying at the noon hour, 12 o'clock hour, which was the time of prayer. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, or in an out-of-body experience, if you will, I saw a vision. So God's going to speak to Peter now in a vision. That was commonplace in Bible times. We saw it throughout the Old Testament. We see it sometimes in the New Testament. Does God speak in visions today? Why not? We have a completed revelation. God's complete revelation to man is found in this book. And if it's complete, what needs to be added to it? What should be added to it? If any man add to the words of this book or take from the words of this book, was the warning in Revelation 22. Amen? So we have a complete revelation. So when somebody comes to me and said, God spoke to me and God said, I say, well, show it to me. Show it to me. It's got to be in here if God said it. Amen? But in Bible time, they didn't have a completed Bible. They had the Old Testament. So God spoke in visions and dreams and other methods he chose to communicate with man. So he says, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Now, someone has suggested the reason it was held by four corners is a reference to the four corners of the earth. It may or may not be. I don't know. But it does apply to the four corners of the earth. Worldwide. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered. I pondered what it should mean. And saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls. He said, when I considered what was in there, I saw mixed together in that great sheet clean animals and unclean animals. In other words, he discerned the difference. And he was aware of what the law said. I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the earth, of the air. Now let's back up a minute. Back to verse 5. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet let down from where? Heaven. Where is the sheet coming from? Heaven. Who's communicating with Peter? The Lord from heaven. Led down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me, upon which when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay, and eat. He heard a voice. Wonder where that voice is coming from. Well, he doesn't tell us here, does he? But I said, not so, Lord. He knows it's the Lord. Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. I've never violated your law, your dietary laws. I've been faithful to keep them. Not so, Lord. What was he saying? I'm not going to do that. I've never done that. Is this the first time Peter's argued with the Lord? No. Has he ever won an argument with the Lord? Is he going to win this one? No. Are you going to win one? No. So what's the best thing to do? Don't argue. Just obey. So he said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again, from where? Now he says that voice came from heaven. It's the Lord himself speaking. We already know that. From heaven. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Okay? Or unclean. In other words, he's saying, Peter, those dietary laws are no longer in effect. Now, why did we have those dietary laws in the first place? Well, the dietary laws have to do with what you ingest, right? And the Jews had a peculiar diet. Part of the reason for that is God didn't want them fellowshipping with the heathen. If you can't eat with them, it's difficult to fellowship with them. So he gives them a diet that is contrary to what the heathen are used to, what they eat. But now God has what? Cleansed it. He also gave that those dietary laws to practice discernment. That some things are clean and some things aren't. Some things are good and some things are bad. You know, I think that we today need to practice discernment. Because I see the world creeping into the church. Things that ought not to be there, but are there. And why are they there? Because we haven't practiced discernment. So Peter, not so, Lord. For nothing common or unclean has at any time entered into my mouth, but the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done not once, not twice, 3 times. Why three? Why not once or why not twice? Why three? Well, we're about to find out. Next verse. And behold. A light bulb goes off in Peter's mind. And behold. Immediately there were 3 men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. So now he's beginning to see what the implications of that vision really are. These men. Who are these men? Well, they're heathen men. They're the uncircumcised, if you will. And the Spirit bade me go with them. And the Spirit bade me go with them. Now, that's an interesting passage. The Spirit. That's a small S. If it was a capital S, who would we be talking about? But this is a small S. Who's he talking about? Anybody have an idea? All right? Aaron says he doesn't know the distinction between the small S and the BS, big S. Do you know why? There isn't one. When you got saved, what happened to you? Were you born again? What was born? Your spirit, Greg says. Is that right? So then you have a spirit. Where'd that spirit come from? Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That spirit was born of whom? God. So if it's born of God, whose spirit is it? Whose spirit is it? It's God's. Is there a difference between God the Father? God the Father is a spirit, right? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him. How? In spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. Christ has a spirit. Now, my question to you is, are those three separate entities or are they one? They're one. Romans chapter 8, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Look with me. Go to Romans chapter 8 for a second. Look at verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S, if so be that the Spirit of God, capital S, dwell in you. The Spirit of whom? God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So doesn't that say that the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ are one and the same? Let's look at another verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look with me at verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord. Are you joined unto the Lord? He that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. How many? One. Romans chapter 8, his spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Remember that verse? Doesn't say his spirit beareth witness to our spirit. It says his spirit beareth witness with our spirit. In other words, they have the same witness. Why do they have the same witness? Same spirit. Does that make sense? So when we say here that the Spirit, back in chapter 11, the Spirit bade me go with them. Small S. But could just as well have been a capital S. Because they're one the same. The Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. So they spent the night together. They traveled together. They enter into Cornelius' house contrary to the law. Because Peter sees something new and something different. And he showed us, this is the man in the house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Why Peter? Why Peter? Why not Philip? Why not someone else? Why Peter? All right, let's put it another way. But he is the man uniquely fitted for this task. He's the leader of the apostles. He was the spokesman for the apostles. Who was it who stepped out of the boat and walked on the water? Who was it who had enough faith to step out? Who was it who, when asked, who am I, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Who was that? Who was it on the day of Pentecost who stood and preached a sermon and 3,000 souls get saved? Who was it in chapter 3 who preached in Solomon's porch after the healing of the lame man and 5,000 men were saved? Who is that? Peter. Who is the man most respected among the apostles? I submit unto you, I believe it was Peter. So Peter was chosen because there was going to come opposition. Who better to quell that opposition than Peter? So Peter's the man chosen. Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now in chapter 10, when we read the account there, Cornelius was praying, but it doesn't tell us what he was praying about. But this chapter tells us what he was praying about. What was he praying about? Being saved. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Boy, that's a powerful verse. Who shall tell thee what? Words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. How do men get saved? By words. Is that what it says? By words whereby thou shalt be saved. By words. Are words important? It's not just any words. Peter came to speak certain words. What words does he come to speak? The words of God. That's what saves, the words of God. Are you saved by trusting Jesus? Yes, but indirectly. You're saved directly by words. What do I mean? How do we know who Jesus is? Huh? How do we know? This is how we know. How do we know he was virgin born? Huh? It says so. How do we know he lived a sinless life? It says so. How do we know he died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world? It says so. How do we know he raised again from the dead on the third day and lives forevermore and maketh intercession for you? How do we know that? There's only one way we can know that, and that's through words. Where do we find those words? In the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. If it's not the Word of God, it's not the Bible. Amen? So which book has or contains, or actually, I don't want to use that word. Which book actually is the Word of God? This one. Why do I say this one? Well, I say it. One reason I say it is because I got saved by this one. Did you? Where did this one come from? Came from God. But when it was translated, what was it translated from? Textus Receptus. What is Textus Receptus? That's Latin for received text. Received by whom? Christians accepted this as God's word. For how long? Almost 2,000 years. Till the end of the 19th century. Then they started coming out with other so-called versions. Now, they might be versions, but they're not versions of this. There's somebody else's version. When I read my Bible, I want to read what God said. Amen. I want to know what God said. If I want to know what some man thinks God said, I'll get me a commentary. Huh? But if I want to know what God said, I need a Bible. Thank God I have one. Now, some people don't think it's important. It's the most important issue we have to deal with, is that book. Satan knows that. If he can destroy our faith in that book, he's got us. Huh? Well, you know, none of the versions are perfect. I know one Bible that is perfect. I've been studying it for 66 years. I've been reading it for 66 years. I haven't found a mistake in it yet. If you know of one, please come and show it to me. Words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. What was the beginning? Pentecost. Was that the beginning? That was the beginning. The Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning, or at Pentecost. Now, what does it mean when it says as on us? What? The same. Is that what that means? Is that what it says? As on us. This is Peter's interpretation. As on us at the beginning. Then look at the next verse. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He didn't say the rest of it, not many days hence. But he's applying what took place in Cornelius' house to what took place on the day of Pentecost. Now, this is Peter's explanation, not mine. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? In other words, the evidence that God gave to Peter and those six men as a demonstration that what these Gentiles, these uncircumcised, had done was accepted by God. God accepted these men by giving them the same thing he gave to those Jewish believers. Turn with me quickly to Acts 15. Acts 15, where Peter's again explaining this same thing. Look at verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, this is with those circumcision people we were talking about before, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Even as he did unto us. You see that? And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now that is what took place at Cornelius' house. Any questions on that? Anybody have a question about that?
You might say that, or how the Bible says, you emphasize the words, right? And I believe on it. But the Bible, correct me if I'm wrong, but how it says, like, say somebody's in the Amazon jungle, doesn't hear those words, but they know the Bible says they have no excuse because of God's creation. So,
okay.
I understand that.
Okay. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. And he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What saves a man? Faith. Faith? Faith in what? How do you have faith in Christ? How do you get faith in Christ? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the only way. There is no other way. That's true. So what happened? What happened to the Ethiopian eunuch? God sent somebody to give him the message. What happened to Cornelius? God sent somebody to give him the message. What happened to the woman at the well? Somebody had to meet her there.
But what happened to that person? Didn't the missionary went?
Why didn't he? The only thing I can come back to, what does the Bible say? He that believeth on him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already.
Well, they sought out God. They wanted to.
They were seeking. And if you're seeking, what will happen? You'll find. Isn't that what it says? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that what? Asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh. So if a man has a heart and seeking, God will provide. It's in every man that there is a God that is inbred in us.
Romans 1 says, the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being visible
things that are made to the men of God. That's what it says. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So there's no excuse. Respond to the light that you have, and God will give you more light. Amen? All right, good question. Our time's up.